Come to order. Members, please raise to their presence by voting. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please announce the total.
32 members present.
Please rise for prayer by the Father John Larson, Church of the Holy Trinity. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for prayer to be spread on the journal.
Hearing no objection, prayer will be spread on the journal. House stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Before we proceed with the daily order of business, I would like to remind members and others, which includes the press, that we do intend to start the session at 10 o'clock. I would like people to be here at 10 o'clock so we don't have a mass entrance after the prayer. I think out of courtesy to the members who are here at 10, all members should try to be here. We cannot set schedules without being prompt. I do intend to start at 10 o'clock. Will the clerk please certify to the correctness of the previous day journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 38th day and House Supplement Number 8.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, before we get to certification, I would note that Representative Gardner is excused from the call today, but he is here today. And I move and ask unanimous consent that the body approve, as certified by the Chief Clerk, the journal for the 38th day and House Supplement Number 8.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the journal will be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk. We are under introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction in the House? Representative Haugen. Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a pleasure to introduce four close-up students from St. Mary's High School. They are both from Representative Hurlburt's district and my district. Bernadette Williams from Kotlik. I believe they're all in Gallery B. Renee Jack from Stebbins. Alex Nixick, Jr. from St. Michael. And Bernard Poppy from St. Mary's.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B is Burroughs Emmerman from Fairbanks that I've known for quite a while. We're happy to have him with us today, and I assume he's here for our luncheon. Kevin Heron. Where'd he go?
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, as you know, over the interim, I was lucky enough, I guess, to get married, and my in-laws are here today in Gallery A in the non-smoking section. Helene Harvey, my mother-in-law. And in Gallery B, the smoking section, Lanson Harvey, my father-in-law.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to introduce a neighbor of mine that's now, he's the chairman of the local road advisory board, but apparently he's moved to Juneau for the session, so I hope the roads don't go to pieces while Bill Moffitt's in Juneau.
Representative Bettysworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Over in Gallery A, a friend of mine and constituent from Fairbanks, John Roney.
Representative Adams.
Yes, in Gallery B, I'd like to introduce the president of a profit dynamic stable village corporation called Keegitugwik Inupiaq Corporation from Kotzebue, Bill Fritz.
Representative Cuddy.
I'd like to introduce in Gallery A, Mike Lynch from Anchorage.
Are there other guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I've read the following resolution and I'm transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 7, relating to Pope John Paul II's visit to Alaska. Legislative Resolve Number 1. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following and it is transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill Number 80 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Code Revision Commission. An act relating to oath, affirmation, acknowledgement, notarization, and verification in adopting the Uniform Recognition of Acknowledgements Act.
Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
There is a communication from J.H. Hogan, Director of the Legislative Finance Division. It has been placed on each member's desk. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 157, increasing the membership of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Brown, Cuddy, Fuller, and Abood. House Bill 157 has no further referral.
Excuse me?
The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 42, CNRA amended, relating to the Village Safe Water Program under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Grusendorf, Chairman, concurred in by Grusendorf, Vasca, Bilesma, Randolph, and O'Connell. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 42 has a further referral to Finance.
House entities. House, come back to order. We are under reports to special committees.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 41 by Buckholt, Gardner, Clarkson, Cato, Rogers, Jaroff, Adams, Fuller, and Vasca. An act relating to the health of residents of the state and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 150 by Duncan and Miller. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs Senior Citizens Housing Development Fund to develop senior citizen housing and providing for an effective date.
Community, Regional Affairs, and Finance.
I would like to say that when sponsor substitutes come in, that the original co-sponsors will go on them on the sponsor substitute unless you notify us. House Bill 183 by Fuller and Adams. An act making special appropriations for the repair and renovation of the Nome Slaughterhouse Facility and for reindeer stock improvement for St. Lawrence Island and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 184 by Martin. An act authorizing an advisory vote by the qualified voters of the state on convening special sessions of the legislature at any location in the state and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 185 by Martin, an act relating to the regulation of abortions, adopting an unborn child protection act, and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Judiciary. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to request that that bill be held over for approximately 2 hours. It is a rather lengthy bill, sir, and I think if the people read it in its entirety, they might co-sponsor it. Thank you.
The bill will be held on the clerk's desk for 2 hours after session.
House Bill 186 by Barnes, Abood, Anderson, Bellsworth, Bilesma, Hayes, Martin, and Montgomery, an act relating to the purchase of precious metals or precious or semi-precious stones.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary. Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to have this bill held on the clerk's desk for 1 hour also. I'm sure that most members of this body has had a letter from a Grange Jewelers requesting this bill be introduced. And those that are interested, I would appreciate them co-sponsoring.
The bill will be held on the clerk's desk for 1 hour. Representative Freeman.
May we have a brief at ease, please?
House stand at ease. House, come back to order. Do we have further bills for introduction?
House Bill 187 by Montgomery and Hayes, an act relating to the penalty on tax.
Judiciary and Finance. Representative Montgomery.
Mr. Speaker, I request that this bill be held for an hour for other people to sign on.
The House Bill 187 will be held for an hour for additional co-sponsors.
House Bill 188 by Carney, an act making a special appropriation for reconstruction of the Iditarod Elementary School in Wasilla and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance. Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to request that this bill not be held up at all. It's an emergency situation, and I'd like to see prompt action taken so that they can begin reconstruction of this school that was destroyed by fire. Thank you.
Are there further bills for introduction?
House Bill 189 by Carney, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for a sports arena complex in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough and providing for an effective date.
Community Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 190 by Adams, an act relating to state aid to Native village governments and providing for an effective date.
Community Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 191 by Phillips, an act relating to the Alaska Longevity Bonus and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Judiciary.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Phillips.
I'd like to make a request to hold it 1 hour.
House Bill 191 will be held for 1 hour after session for additional co-sponsors.
House Bill 192 by Sutcliffe, an act making a special appropriation for construction of a school at Sandpoint and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 193 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the disposal and use of state and municipal land and providing for an effective date.
Community Regional Affairs.
House Bill 194 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to prisoner employment and correctional industries and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 195 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to comprehensive health planning.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Judiciary.
House Bill 196 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to establishment of the Alaska State Center and a state weather and climate program.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 197 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the Alaska Gas Pipeline Financing Authority and providing for an effective date.
Special Joint Committee on Gas Pipeline and Finance.
House Bill 198 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act establishing the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 199 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the Guide Board and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
House Bill 200 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the Oil and Gas Corporate Income Tax and providing for an effective date.
The Special Joint Committee on Gas Pipeline and Finance.
House Bill 201 by the Finance Committee, an act making special appropriations to the Department of Revenue to provide partial interest payments on municipal bonds as a general fund subsidy to local government and providing for an effective date.
Committee on Regional Affairs and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
Citation in memoriam, Nina Chapman by Senator Ray.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd ask unanimous consent that your name and mine be added as sponsors for the citation.
Hearing no objection, the names will be added as indicated. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent for the approval of the citation.
Hearing no objection, the citation in memoriam, Nina Chapman, is approved. Brings us to the end of the daily calendar and to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative O'Connell and Representative Anderson be excused from the call of the House February 26, 27, and until plain time March 2nd.
Hearing no objection, the members will be excused on dates indicated.
And Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Abood be excused from the call of the House February 25, 26, and 27.
Hearing no objection, the member will be excused on the date indicated. Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Clarkson be excused from the call of the House on Monday, February 23rd.
Hearing no objection, the member will be excused on the date indicated.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Vasca be excused from the call of the House on February 25th, 26th, and 27th.
Hearing no objection, the member will be excused on the date indicated. To further unfinished business, Representative Gardner.
Could we have an at ease?
House, stand at ease. House, come back to order. So further unfinished business to come before the House. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests?
We are under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, the mayor of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, John Carlson, and presiding officer of the Borough Assembly, Dave Brennan.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I guess it is, a couple of guests from the city of Soldotna sitting in the back row, Mr. Phil Aber, and with him the mayor of the city of Soldotna, Al Pekarsky.
Moss.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert back to unfinished business?
We are in an unfinished business.
There will be a House Finance Subcommittee meeting on education with the Senate Subcommittee on Education in the Senate Finance Room in the morning at 8.
Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Committee announcements. Representative Gardner.
The Resources Committee will be meeting early today at 2:30, so members should note that we'll be meeting a half hour early. The between 2:30 and 3, we will be having an overview of state park system from the Division of Parks and Department of Natural Resources. At 3 o'clock, we will be taking up House Bill 49, which is an appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for the Alaska Agricultural Action Council to construct facilities for a small grains marketing system. This will be a markup session on the bill, as we've already had a hearing. And if time permits after that, we will continue work on House Bill 31, which is the lands bill.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a meeting of the Legislative Council at 11 a.m. this morning in the House Judiciary Committee room. Ask members to be prompt because with the noon hour coming up, time will be limited.
Representative Hurlburt.
House Labor and Commerce will be taking up House Bill 115, Boilers and 56, the wage and hour. It's 1:30 and 4:11.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, the House Judiciary Committee will consider our old friend, the bill on state regulation of fireworks, and by Mr. Phillips, and in this legislature, it's House Bill 158.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, House State Affairs will meet at 3 o'clock today. The subsequently two governor's bills, House Bill 53, the driving point system, and HB 63, Police Standards Council.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the House Finance Committee has been invited to join with the Senate Finance Committee meeting today at 1:30 to hear some discussion on the AHSC program, home loan programs in general, and I believe they may be bringing up some bills, but generally there'd be a couple hours of discussions with most people are concerned with the home loan program that the state has to offer.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Alaska Statehood Commission meets tomorrow and Saturday in Anchorage, tomorrow at the Legislative Information Office, and any legislators who are going to be in Anchorage tomorrow or Saturday are invited to the meeting. There will be public comments both days.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, today in the Hess Committee at 3 p.m., a teleconference on a sponsor substitute for House Bill 17 on the Older Alaskans Commission. Tomorrow, House Bill 20 on displaced homemakers, again at 3 o'clock. A couple of notes for the next couple of weeks on bills that members might be interested in. Hearings will begin on the State Comprehensive Health Plan, House Bill 41, on Friday, a week from tomorrow, starting at 3 p.m. A teleconference on that bill, House Bill 41, at 3 p.m. on Monday, March 2nd, and a work session on that bill again on Tuesday, March 3rd. Then on March 4th, daycare, House Bill 43, and on March 5th, House Bill 175 and House Bill 167, both relating to child support enforcement.
Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, tomorrow morning at 8:30, the House Transportation Committee will take up House Concurrent Resolution Number 1, having to do with the Older Alaskans Travel Reduced Rate on the Marine Highway System.
Representative Bettisworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to remind the Interior Delegation that today is our weekly noon luncheon. The elected officials from Fairbanks are down to give us a briefing and talk about our programs for progress, and encourage anybody to attend. Thank you.
Representative Brown. House stand at ease. House, come back to order. We are under announcements of committee meetings. Are there further announcements? Representative Meekins.
Speaker, under announcements, just bring it to people's attention that there are several happenings today. The chair delegation luncheon has been announced, but the State Chamber of Commerce is having informal reception. These are all listed on your calendar tonight, and the Alaska Association of Realtors is also having a reception. I guess it's almost immediately after the Chamber of Commerce one, and also the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank is having a reception, 5 to 8.
Representative Malone.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I would like to announce that the Kenai Peninsula Legislative Delegation is holding their regular weekly teleconference this evening at 9 p.m. and all members, of course, and particularly people from the Kenai Peninsula happen to be in town are invited to attend. Our guest legislator this evening is the chairman of the powerful House Finance Committee, Representative Sam Cotton.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There'll be a Republican caucus this afternoon at 5 p.m. in the Butchovich room.
Are there further committee announcements? Special orders. Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the floor to speak on birthdays?
You have the floor.
I guess you might say that we're a day late and a dollar short in doing this, but we couldn't do it yesterday because we had to surprise him. But a member of this body had his birthday yesterday, and it's probably the last one he'll have with us since he's likely to be mayor of Anchorage come next year. So will you join with me in wishing Representative Joe Hayes a happy birthday one day late?
Representative Hayes, is there an announcement you'd like to make? Further special orders, Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, may I have a few moments to talk about House Bill 185 that was introduced this morning?
You have the floor.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Speaker, we've had this subject before us, and House Bill 185, I really hope that every member does read in its entirety.
Actually, since 1970, when the state first got into this issue, the statutes have not been updated, and some of the regulations that were given by the Senate and the House in those days was not even fulfilled. Also, it's been 11 years now, and there's been many changes in the lower 48, and there's been many changes in our state regulations as these papers will attest to. But still, the Department of Health and Social Services feel that we need to do something to get ourselves out of a problem that many states in the lower 48 are having, and that is major, major lawsuits in this whole issue of abortion, both sides of the issue. And in order to save ourselves from major lawsuits they're having in the lower 48, I think we must face up to this. Now, last year, the department did send three pages of regulations to the Attorney General's office and asked them to evaluate these regulations and to give them some guidance so that we legislators and the state people will keep out of trouble according to the new concepts and new decisions made by courts around the nation as well as our Supreme Court. However, it was the Attorney General's decision, or at least his department, and they sent back a note that they even refused acknowledgement of the request, which I think is completely out of the realm to do. It was also asked that these regulations be forwarded to the governor's office, and they refused to do that. I have not gotten the written note, and I'd love to find that written note from the Assistant Attorney General that officially refused to do their duties. Later on this year, the governor sent a request to the Attorney General's office asking them to outline possible options with respect to funding of elected abortions. And they did, 4 months later, come along with about six pages. Most of it is that more or less you can't do this because of that, and you can't do that because of this, and God help you because we can't. And it boils down in the last paragraph of all this that it is in the legislators' hands, that we are the only ones that can do something about it. Now, last year, also, I introduced Bill, House Bill number 768, which did clean up some of our regulations and did update us to some degree with the U.S. Supreme Court decision and with U.S. District Court decisions. But we chose to sit on this and kind of keep our heads in the sand. Now, the new bill, sir, it's a little late in introduction because it took our legal department, I think they did a fine job, over a month in reviewing all these regulations and statutes and court decision and finally coming up with something that admittedly is rather thick. But, you know, if we're supposed to do the business of the state, we've got to face this rather controversial issue like we have other issues that are controversial too. And I would like to ask sincerely that the body as a whole face up to our obligation as elected officials, not only in answering the problems that the governor's office has, in answering the problems that the Department of Health and Social Service has, but in answering the concerns of thousands of people across this great state. And I ask, Mr. Speaker, that we do have hearings on this issue, and preferably this session. Thank you.
Are there further special orders? Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to ask a question.
You have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, this House voted unanimously several days ago to ask you to invite the Senate to meet with us in joint session for the purpose of adopting, or at least trying to adopt, specific rules changes. And it appears to me that a lot of those rules changes are pretty nearly unanimously supported in this body by all three of the parties that are represented in this body. At least some of those rules changes are supported unanimously, and of course the vote was unanimous to ask them. In response, I understand yesterday that one of the reasons given for not meeting was that a certain strategy exists which involves not allowing the Transportation Committee to become legitimate. it appears to be the thinking of the Senate leaders that the Transportation Committee, which was created last year, is not a legitimate committee, and if we had a joint session, it would be adopted, and therefore it would become legitimate. And I think that calls into question, really, whether or not our Transportation Committee is legitimate, and the bills that have been assigned to it, some of which have, I think, moved out already, or at least are going to be moved out very soon and are very significant, whether that those actions of meeting and taking testimony and moving on bills is legitimate. And I think that's an extremely important question, and I would like to ask you to try to find out whether or not it is legitimate, or perhaps you have found out. I know it was a question yesterday, and I think it's appropriate for us to know whether or not our transportation is legitimate for our own purposes, and also for the purpose of whether or not that's a legitimate excuse in any way to not holding a joint session.
Representative Meekins, I think that is an important question. I have asked for a legal opinion, have received that, written one will be coming. There are two methods of changing joint rules, of course. One of those is through joint rules committee meetings, and then and that committee would recommend changes and the bodies would vote on it. The second method is through concurrent resolution. Last year, towards the end of the session, House Concurrent Resolution 63 was passed by both bodies, both the House and the Senate, authorizing the establishment of transportation committees in each body. Therefore, there's no question that the transportation committees were legally established, that they are legal standing committees, and that reference of bills to those committees, of course, is correct. So those were established by House Concurrent Resolution 63, and both are legal standing committees in each body, according to the legal opinion I have received. Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, is that an informal opinion, or are you going to receive a...
That was an informal opinion with a written opinion to follow, but it follows along the lines of a number of people I've consulted with indicate the same, and the attorneys also agree that those are legal standing committees.
Well, in that case, and that's good to know in terms of our operations here with the Transportation Committee, but in that case, I would like to ask you, at least representing the majority party, and hopefully others, but at least represent the majority party, that you press forward with your request to meet in joint session as soon as possible. March 6th was the date that we had preferred. So I would like to ask you to press forward with that.
I intend to do so, Representative Meekins. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could make a comment on the same issue.
You have the floor.
I would like to concur in your remarks about the legality of the Transportation Committee. I informally asked for an opinion also just late yesterday and received the same opinion. And for the information of the other members of this body, we are working under this present time, this edition of the Uniform Rules, I understand. And it's interesting to note on page 8 that we now have listed as a standing committee, the Transportation Committee. Now, that's an interesting development, in as much as I think theoretically these are not changed except by joint session. And but it is in here, and I think that it reflects somebody's opinion essentially was that which you indicated you'd received, that it in effect does exist legally, but in any event, how it got in here is another thing.
Well, I may be corrected, Representative Hayes, but my understanding is there's two methods of changing the uniform rules. One is through a joint session after recommendation of the Joint Rules Committee. The other is by the passage of a concurrent resolution in both bodies, and that resolution did pass last year, so that is a change in the uniform rules. Representative Miller?
Just so we make it abundantly clear that the rules that we're working under are absolutely legitimate. You're exactly right. Majority and minority leaders are exactly right. Just for the record, I'd just like to read what the adoption and the amendment of rules says, so that it's on the record that we know what we're doing. Rule 52, the uniform rules of each legislature shall be adopted in joint session by a majority vote of the membership of each house. Previously, there is language in here that says when we haven't yet done that in a given year, the previous rules apply. Thereafter, uniform rules may be amended only by the adoption of a concurrent resolution by two-thirds of the membership of these of each house, which is exactly what we did. When the rules are affected by constitutional and statutory changes, well, that just goes into more housekeeping, how the Legislative Council affects the necessary revisions. But in any case, it's what we did is not only entirely proper and legal, but even the printing of the under the revised printing is exactly right and exactly legal, because we did do what was called for. We passed the concurrent resolutions by at least two-thirds in each house.
Are there further special orders? Representative Meekins.
Move and ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, the House